Good afternoon, everybody. This is Barb Pell, and I'm delighted that you could join us for a webinar titled Moving from Offset to Digital, Strategies for Success. This is part of Konica Minolta's Power Up for Profit series, and we're delighted that they sponsored this webinar. I'm joined today by Mike Ford, and Mike is the supervisor and manager of the printing department at Kilgore College. What you'll hear is that Mike clearly has and is from East Texas, as you listen to a little bit of his accent. What we're going to be doing today is we're going to be talking about how the world has evolved with digital print. But before we get started, what I would like to do is just take a second and make sure that everybody's positioned to enjoy the webinar. If you're having any technical difficulties, you can let us know by using the Q&A box, or you can troubleshoot by clicking on the help widget below. If you have a common problem like loss of sound or a stall in the slides, typically they can be fixed with a quick refresh of your browser. If you have a question, we'll be taking them throughout the webinar today, so you can submit them via the Q&A box. By the way, disable your pop-up blockers, and to see what the console can do, you can click on the Tips for Attendees widget and get a complete rundown. What we're going to be discussing today is the state of the digital production printing market. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about why color, why now, and why it's displacing offset. Mike Ford is going to give you a practical story about what actually happened at Kilgore and how he's both increased the quality of his work as well as volume of work in his implant through digital technology. And then I'll wrap up with a couple final comments, and we'll open it again for any questions that we might not have gotten to. Now, to get started, one of the first things that I'd like to share with you are critical trends in the market. InfoTrends, which is a market research company, just completed a major study that involved 687 print service providers and implant establishments. 459 were print service providers and included common job titles like the CEO, CIO, and CFO, and another 228 were implant establishments. And you can see the demographics below on what the implants looked like. And on the print for pay respondents, they were either general commercial printers, direct mailers, data processors, or quick printers. So we really covered a broad range of demographics and of companies of all sizes. And what they talked to us about was what the critical market drivers were, market inhibitors, as well as how their markets are evolving. The first comment we got in terms of market drivers was that printers of all types recognize the need to change. They realize that they have to invest in business to enable things like promotional and customer acquisition services to marketing executives of all sizes of companies. The second major component is that data management and e-commerce services rate high in terms of what companies are offering or plan to offer. And what they're doing is they're spending their dollars on web to print, data composition, design and management, and web hosting applications. And of equal importance, print for pay establishments are increasingly moving and evolving service offerings in their sales approaches. What we're finding is that those sales reps clearly acknowledge the need to call on new targeted customers. They're migrating their attention to senior and mid-level marketing executives and CEOs. Now, there's a number of inhibitors that I think we've all experienced in the marketplace. First of all, that print service provider faces continued downward pressure on revenues. We all know that the economy has not been the printing industry's friend, and so there's been revenue declines for a significant portion of the market. Higher percentages of print-for-pay and implant establishments expect flat to negative growth from a range of services capabilities and investment areas. We're also seeing, obviously, shorter runs, and the majority of print service providers agree that run lengths are getting shorter, but the volumes of jobs are not necessarily increasing. We're also seeing pricing pressures from some of those companies that are commoditizing the market. We're seeing continued market consolidation across both the implant and print-for-pay environments. We're seeing that that service provider realizes that his or her local geography isn't enough, and they're leveraging web-enabled technologies to move outside their local market. And of equal importance, they're seeing a demand for full color over black and white or spot color, and that's having a dramatic increase on the demand for digital color devices. When we look at the print-for-pay versus the implant market spaces, we're seeing some significant differences. First of all, higher percentages of print providers plan to offer some of those advanced marketing services, like customer acquisition, direct mailers versus the implant market. The print-for-pay market is also much, much more bullish on the future, while implants still predict relatively limited growth. If we look at the implant market, what we saw was that the implants suffered a lot more during the 2010 year from flat to negative growth. They were also slower to roll out additional services and had a tendency to focus on more of the traditional services. And so those were all critical issues as we looked at the market. This next slide really just is a graphic depiction of the demographics of the companies that we studied. And as I indicated, the consolidation across all segments continues. One of the other things that we are seeing in the implant market is that we're seeing consolidation with print mailing and, in some instances, data center operations. The big change here is, in a lot of instances, the software used and the services that are planned. This slide really depicts the software utilization in the implant and print-for-pay markets. And what you can see is the growth in utilization of critical software tools, web-to-print, where 58% of the respondents said they were web-enabled, variable data software, 67% of the respondents using VDP, and mailing software. So we're clearly seeing big impact in terms of advanced software and tools. When we look at the impact of digital, what we're seeing is it's big. 70% of implant and print-for-pay establishments agree that customers are moving to full color. And that's really a direct result of lower-cost digital color capabilities. The run lengths are getting shorter, and clearly the implants lag in terms of services offerings. This next slide shows the services that are offered or planned to be offered, and you can see the discrepancies between the print-for-pay environment and the implant. As an example, customer acquisition and loyalty services, 63% of print-for-pay establishments, commercial printers, quick printers, plan to offer tools for customer acquisition and loyalty versus only 32% in the implant marketplace. The other piece is this directly correlates with revenue growth expectations and service revenue growth expectations, where you're seeing that the commercial print market space is relatively bullish on the revenues that they'll derive from some of these new, more advanced services offerings. Now, when we take a look at digital color, what we're seeing is pretty high adoption across the range of digital color devices in the marketplace. This slide depicts the number of digital color copying and or printing devices that an individual has at their respective site. This next slide looks at the mean number of devices that are either high-speed, roll-fed, cut sheet, toner-based, digital color MFP, or direct imaging presses. Now, when we take a look at all those things combined, the next big question is, why is digital color so important in today's market? And what we see are seven critical and major trends, and I'm going to talk about all seven of these, and then we're going to turn it over to Mike, and Mike's going to share his perspective relative to what he's seeing at Kilgore. The first one is that offset is clearly moving to digital technology. And what we're seeing is a number of reasons. Typically, what you've got is that the offset run are reserved for run lengths of 5,000 pages or more. Clearly, offset becomes more economical as run lengths increase. For shorter runs, digital print makes a lot of sense. The quality of digital print has improved significantly. you will see some level of higher quality with offset. I think what you'll hear the majority of the vendors say in the marketplace is we offer near offset quality. I would tell you at the same time, digital output meets the needs of most customers. Historically, offset has had a wider variety of paper alternatives, but digital media is rapidly catching up. And what we're seeing are inline finishing operations that are available that make these digital devices much, much more productive. We asked the implants as well as the print-for-pay environments what percent of color volume is being produced using the following devices. And what you'll see if you look at the respective charts is you'll see that the lighter blue is offset, the darker blue is digital, which is that digital is really doing the lion's share of work. Now, I would also tell you that we asked them what their perception was in terms of what would take place in the next couple of years. And what you can see is the perception of the growth in offset went from 44.7 to 48. The biggest growth occurring, by the way, in the print-for-pay environments. The other thing that we ask people and we survey on a regular basis is what are the top applications where we're going to see offset to digital transfer? And we've actually done an estimate of the growth in terms of page volume that will actually migrate to digital. And what you can see is the light blue bars represent the volumes in 2010. The pink bars represent the growth between now and 2015. So you see huge growth in things like books, brochures, direct mail, all of which are moving from offset or traditional technologies to the digital world. The next critical trend is that black and white is, in fact, moving to color. And I think the key message here is that color communicates. I don't think anybody out there, maybe a couple of you, prefer black and white television anymore to color. And there are a variety of statistics that support the effectiveness of color. Color increases participation, it enhances retention, and it results in higher response rates in an ad campaign. One of the key metrics that we look at on a regular basis at InfoTrends are the annual impressions generated on specific types of devices. And what we're seeing is that the pages produced on digital color devices are growing at a rate of 15.1%, and CAGR stands for compound annual growth rate, while black and white impressions are, in fact, declining at a 4.4% compound annual growth rate. The next big thing that we're seeing in the marketplace are shorter and shorter run lengths. We've talked about print providers as well as print buyers. 46% of 356 print providers agreed with the statement that within 2 years, more than half of my jobs will require delivery within 24 hours. Print buyers said that 50% of color jobs will have a run length of under 1,000, and 70% will have a run length of under 5,000. Now, this is an interesting chart that really shows how things are changing. It relates to an overall trend towards shorter and shorter run lengths and quicker turnaround times. We've tracked this data between 2004, 2008, and again in 2011. And you can see what's happening in terms of decline in overall run lengths and the growth in those jobs that are less than 250 to 449 over that period of time. And so what you're seeing is volume shifts in terms of people demanding shorter and shorter run lengths. The next key element is what we categorize as mass customization or personalization. And what we're seeing is the value of a personalized message. InfoTrends recently did a study, and we talked to more than 466 marketing executives. And what we asked them was what their approach was to campaigns today. Of those 466 marketers, 60% of the campaigns that they run today are either personalized, they're one-to-one, or they're segmented, one-to-few. What that means is those marketers get the value of a personalized message. Now, the next big message is that the retail value of the variable data print-on-demand market is growing. And, in fact, the color portion of that is growing at a 20% compound annual growth rate. Well, black and white is relatively flat, and the overall growth is 11%. The next big thing that we're seeing are companies that are utilizing the web. And virtually all of today's documents are created and available electronically. As a result, print has become an output option rather than the assumed end result. This has an impact not only on the traditional offset printing market, but on office printing, copying, data center printing, and on typical print-on-demand applications like books and technical manuals. This basic underlying change is something that printers across the board have acknowledged, and we're seeing significant growth in the deployment of web-to-print solutions. It's also being used for what we categorize as mass customization, where I can leverage the web and do mail merges against structured templates. Basically, what happens is I can bring that automated print-ready file, I can submit it over the web, I can get a quote, I can reorder it from a digital repository. And so we're seeing growth in web-to-print. One of the big areas is the fact that web-enabled shipments are going to climb dramatically. And what this next slide shows is what's going on with web-enabled shipments. And, in fact, what you're seeing is projections are that total print shipments will climb at a 1.1% growth rate. Those that are web-enabled, however, will increase at a 20% compound annual growth rate. Again, all linked directly to the availability to produce those jobs digitally with limited interruption. Now, the next piece that we've got is that digital technology is clearly the linchpin to get into what we categorize as the world of cross-media services. Infotrends did a study, and we talked to almost 350 service providers. And what we did is we asked them if, in fact, they offered cross-media services. Of the print service providers that we talked to, 58% offered them today, and 38% of implants offered those services today. One of the big benefits that we saw in terms of companies both having been an early investor in digital technology and then blending that digital technology with the world of cross-media was actual growth in terms of printing volume. Those companies that were offering cross-media services said that their digital print volume grew at a mean of 13.7%. And the last element in why we're seeing a lot of emphasis on digital color is this movement across the printing industry toward what we categorize as super efficiency. And basically what we're seeing in the market is that super efficiency enables operations to be competitive. And it includes all of these processes. It says that I've got the tools and technology to capture the job up front. I can manage that job through my print MIS systems and my workflow management to take it from order entry through to completion with minimal touches in terms of the operation. One of the printers that I've worked with a lot said to me once, anytime someone touches something, profits are lost. And basically, when you look at it, if I can go from online order entry through to completion, and I minimize the number of touches, I become a much, much more profitable organization. And so what we're finding is that those super efficient organizations are using new technologies and blending them with digital printing And what they're doing is they're eliminating reentry of the job, they're reducing error rates, reducing turnaround time, better utilizing staff, and increasing overall profitability. And so when we talk about the difference between offset and digital and the migration between offset and digital, it's largely driven by reduced costs in digital color. What that means and why it's important is that that's driven by shorter run lengths, a need for customization and personalization, the ability to streamline an operation from order entry all the way through to completion, and then a need and a desire to get into and participate in the much more lucrative marketing value chain of cross-media services. Now, I'm joined by Mike Ford of Kilgore College, and I'll check, by the way, questions once Mike gets started, but Mike has transformed his print shop into one that's heavily invested in digital technology. And so what I've asked Mike to do is share his story and how he's made the evolution at Kilgore College to become a digital color, high-quality provider to his end user departments. And so with that, Mike, what I'm going to do is ask you to introduce yourself and talk about Kilgore, and take it away, Mike.
Thank you, Barbara. My name is Mike Ford. I'm with Kilgore College in Kilgore, Texas. We are located in East Texas, about 135 miles southeast of Dallas. We're right on I-20. And this Kilgore College has been in operation since for about 75 years. We are a community college, a two-year school. We have approximately 6,000-plus full-time undergrad students. Our enrollment has exploded in the last 3 or 4 years. It seems like every semester until this current fall semester, we have increased our enrollment and set enrollment records. Our printing establishment is the sole implant company, printing company for Kilgore College. We were started in 1966. A little history for myself. I grew up in Kilgore. My dad had a family printing business that I grew up in. I was running an offset press when I was 14 years old, so I've been in this business for a while. I'm 64, so I've been around offset printing for a lot of years. I really never thought that I would transform from my offset background into digital background, but I have, and I've really enjoyed it.
Hey, Mike, I have somebody that actually asked me how I defined an implant, and you're an implant manager. Could you explain, you know, what the reporting structure is, and you know how the implant is funded by the university? And I'm going to just take a second. An implant is really a corporate, educational, or government facility that actually supports the printing needs of an organization. Hence, that's the definition of an implant. But could you spend just a second talking a little bit more about the reporting structure and how the implant at Kilgore gets funded?
Sure. Our implant prints only for Kilgore College. We do not do any outside printing at all. We don't insource any printing. We do 90%, probably 98% of the printing at Kilgore College. The only things that we do not do are long-run jobs that do not fit our equipment, our digital equipment right now. I report to the marketing director, and we are funded through the college. We're not I keep a set of books. It's like a record company, a normal outside printing company. I was in the outside printing business for several years, and I know what kind of profit margin we have each month, and we record that, but we're not really held to what our profitability is. We are supported by the college. I have a printing budget that I work from each year. Our fiscal year is from September 1st through August 31st. And we're a very profitable organization, but we are funded solely by Kilgore College.
Hey, thanks a bunch, Mike.
Sure. A little bit further, our printing department here started in 1966. We started as a letterpress business. We really didn't have any that much offset work here. The first person that managed the department was a letterpressman, but shortly after he came, the department moved into offset and became a very strong offset printer. We taught printing classes here until 2001. I came to work here in 1994 as an instructor for printing management or printing classes and printing instruction classes, and also the manager of this in-plant print facility. In 2001, Kilgore College is a state-supported institution. The state mandates institutions like Kilgore College to have a certain number of graduates. We weren't meeting that quota at the time, and the state closed our instruction program. But we had such a fantastic facility here that we completely transformed it into not only a teaching facility, but a production facility. When I came in 1994, we had two ladies on staff. I had a part-time pressman, and I hired a full-time pressman. The part-time pressman became full-time and stayed for about 5 or 6 years. He moved on and left myself and the two ladies on staff and the full-time pressman that I hired. At that time, we were printing everything. We were printing black and white and spot color, and we were also printing process color. Process color became difficult for our business since we just had two one-color presses, and we decided to move the process color outside or outsource that particular business. We kept the spot color here, the black and white, but we had to completely outsource the process color. About this time last year, I realized that my pressman that was going to retire sometime in the next few months. I've known for about 3 years that he wasn't going to be replaced, and I was going to have to put together a contingency plan for Kilgore College to keep the production in-house that we were printing offset. At the time, we had two black and white digital printers that we had since 2002. Well, we've been in digital printing, black and white digital printing since 2002. We've had several different machines, but prior to that, we had some big Xerox machines that were analog machines. And in 2002, we moved to black and white digital color along with the offset. When I realized that the pressman was going to retire, I knew that we had to look at the leases that were going to expire on those digital machines and move everything to the digital market when those leases did expire. The way it worked out, I spent probably most of last winter and last spring putting together a contingency plan justify to my boss and to our executive council, who includes all the vice presidents and the president of the college, that moving from offset to digital would be a viable option and would be a profitable option. At the time, I found manufacturers that had machines that would satisfy our production needs and our quality needs, and I spent several months during the last winter and last spring taking our files and our stocks to those manufacturing centers, running them on their machines and comparing them to to each machine and also to offset. Back in the early summer, I had pretty much nailed down about four manufacturers that would be able to bring new applications into our area, plus the quality that we needed and the quicker turnarounds that we needed for our area. Being a state-supported institution, we have to bid those leases. And so an RFP went out in late June to bid for the lease that was going to expire on the black and white digital machines at the end of July. When the bids were returned, three companies were really pretty much dead even as far as their pricing. One company was fairly higher than the others. So I had three companies that I was looking at. And most of the winter, I had looked very, very very much in depth with the ConocoMinolta equipment. When I went to their facility, and I also went to some facilities, not only their own demo facility, but I went to some facilities that had their equipment and ran our files and our stocks through their machines. Of course, most of the files that I ran were files that had been put in process at our outsourced units. And I was so taken aback by their color machines that for my benefit, I was comparing their jobs to the offset jobs, and my realization was that the ConocoMinolta's quality was better than the offset quality for the jobs that we had printed, and the people that printed our outsourced work weren't slouchy printers; they were excellent offset printers. So I was looking at some machines that I could bring in and move our current jobs that we're printing offset to those jobs, and also bring back into our implant facility 75% of the jobs that we had been outsourcing. Our leases expired at the end of July. The ConocoMinolta machines were installed the first week of August. The black and white machine was installed, and the next day we were running that machine. I have an operator that's very capable. She's been running digital machines since 2002, and she was running analog machines about 10 years prior to that. She's very computer savvy and is a very experienced operator. We were up and running the next day, and about a week later, our ConocoMinolta C8000 was installed, and we were running full production on that that same week. So we pretty much closed the offset area. The pressman did retire in August, and our offset area has been closed since then. We have moved everything from offset over to the digital machines. We're very excited about the color. Most people that see our output really can't tell that it's digital work and not offset process color. It's excellent.
Hey, Mike, I have a quick question for you. You know, your run lengths are obviously getting shorter and shorter. On the finishing side, what have you done in terms of changing your finishing capabilities? Have you done anything yet? I realize you just installed the first press in the August time frame.
Our main finishing was saddle stitching. We do a little bit of saddle stitching here. Most of our equipment is manual equipment, and larger quantities I would have saddle stitch at a outside trade bindery. And we installed the machines. We installed a saddle stitch unit onto the to our 1200 that we have, the Konica Minolta BSF 12 Pro 1200. And any finishing that we need to do that's run through that machine is saddle stitch on the Pro 1200. We do not have a saddle stitch unit on the 8000, but I'm looking at probably installing a saddle stitching on 8000 probably sometime in the spring or early summer.
Great. Thanks, Mike.
Sure. One of the jobs that we're really proud of that that we've moved into that area is our football programs. We're a football school. Football programs are a big thing and a big part of our business here. In the past, of course, we ran these offset. We outsourced the cover because it was color, but we printed the black and white here. We're looking at printing about 44 pages plus the cover. In the past, we would have to run all the programs for the entire year. Last year, we ran about 1,600 programs. This year, like Barb has mentioned, we do have shorter run lengths on the football program. We cut the program down from around 400 a game to 250 a game. Our scenario this year is instead of outsourcing the cover, we're printing it here. Instead of having to buy film and make metal plates and run on an offset press, we can still run it here. We run the cover on the 8000, move it to a post inserter on the 1200, run 44 pages, insert the cover, saddle stitch it, trim it, and the book is ready to deliver. In the past, to print the football program would take about 25 to 30 hours. Now we can print the program, print the cover, insert it with the text, print the text, stitch it and trim it in about 4 hours. So it has become a very, very, very quick turnaround on not only that job but most of our other products as well. The football program is such high quality that our boss and so many people in our school look at it and want to know where this was printed this year. So,
That's
great. Nice to tell them it's printed at Kilgore College and our print shop. The cover actually, and this is a quote from the company that had been printing, doing most of my offset printing over the last 6 or 7 years. They would have printed this cover if we were still printing the job offset. Their quote was, when they looked at the book, they asked me if we had coated the cover. We printed it on 80-pound enamel gloss, and it actually looks and feels like it had been coated. It's an excellent job, and we're extremely proud of it. And you can see a couple of samples from two covers that's on your slide that's on the screen now. We also could print the football program in a weekly version, like on-demand printing. We change the cover each week. We changed the roster pages. We changed some game day statistic pages that we included in the book. We had to change some photos periodically, and that could be done weekly or for the game day. We printed each program just prior to that game, so we can make any changes that we needed in the cover or the text.
That's a great story, Mike.
One of the things, if you noticed on the slide on your screen now, is some posters that we have done. We really haven't printed any flyers or advertising material for these presses. We just take the samples around and show them to everybody, and they're ecstatic about the way that the jobs are printed and what we can do here in the printing department. And they're very ecstatic, not so much about the quality, but the turnaround. What usually takes about 4 or 5 days to turn around a process job, we're turning around in usually less than 24 hours. So we're really excited about our transition from offset to digital. It's been a huge success story. we have improved our job volume for about 25% just since August, and we're really looking at bigger and better things. We have so much to so many thanks to give to Konica Minolta. They've been very exciting and to work with. I couldn't ask for more help. Anytime that I have a question, I'll just pick up the phone, and they have the answer, or they're here to help us with our machines.
I have a couple questions for you, though,
sure.
That I didn't mean to interrupt your – but somebody asked me when you talk about the color quality, what type of color management system are you using?
We're using Konica Minolta's command workstation. We have a fire unit on the press, and it's their software, and it does an excellent job for us.
Okay, and then what are the size limits on the sheets that you can run through the press that you're dealing with?
The size limit is 13 by 19 and a quarter. That's the maximum sheet size. The smallest is, I think, like 5.5 by 8.5.
Okay.
And weights.
Then,
I'm sorry.
Yep.
Weights of paper is 16 pound up to 350 GSM, which is like a 15 point cardstock. And we've run several stocks through both machines and haven't had any bad situations at all.
Okay. And then one other question that somebody came back is what do you do on the design side? Are you doing your design in-house, or do you have somebody you work with on the overall application design?
We have two designers. We have one that works in our facility. And we also have a designer that he's a designer plus he's also a campus photographer. He answers to the marketing director as well, but his office is in another building across the campus. But you know, with internet, it's like he's in our office. So we all work together every day and do some great work.
Great. And one other question that I've got is, one of the big questions is you're offering 24-hour turnaround. Now, and the real question, I think you've answered this, but I wanted to reiterate it, is how many digital presses does it take you to achieve that 24-hour turnaround?
We have one black and white 1200, which runs 120 pages per minute. We have one C8000. That runs 80 pages of color per minute, and I have basically one operator that runs both machines.
Okay.
She gets extremely busy. I run the machines as well. We have another staff member that also runs the machines.
Okay. Terrific. Okay. I'm going to let you keep going then. Thanks, Mike.
Okay. I'm really finished with my area. I've put a slide up that shows a photo of myself and Kelly Bonacella, who is our operator. I mentioned before that she's a very experienced digital employee. She's very computer savvy, and plus she knows these machines. And she's run several machines during her time in service. And she does a great job. So the learning curve wasn't all that great when we brought new machines in, even on the color machine. She was running that machine within 2 or 3 days after delivery. We do not have digital storefront, but we do accept our jobs as PDF files via email. We've been doing that since we brought the black and white digital machines in 2002. It was a learning curve for a lot of our customers on campus. They didn't really want to send their material in digitally, but probably 60% of the jobs that we get from our customers on campus come in digitally, black and white, color, everything. Of course, the color jobs really have to come in by PDF into our copy center area. But
okay. I think you've got
that's
one last
really,
slide, and then I have a list of – I think you're going to talk about your future outlook for a second here, Mike, and where you see yourself headed.
Okay. Digital printing has really opened a tremendous amount of doors for us. we were looking at this last winter when we were moving from or looking at the opportunity to move from offset into a digital printing. My boss is the marketing director. Of course, marketing and also the recruiting service department is under him, and we've had lots of discussions on moving to variable data printing. We're not doing that at this time, but that is something that we hope to move into in the next year or so. A couple of things on my last slide that I would like for you to remember if you're planning on moving this direction. Analyze and assess your current production and your workflow. You really need that to justify this process to your superiors. That's what I had to do, and we were able to handle that. And also, choose a device and a vendor that will minimize your downtime. When I was looking at equipment last summer, one of the main things that we really have to look at in this equipment is the company's service. And I spent not only time with the manufacturers running my files on their equipment, but also talked with their customers about service. And that's a very important area that you need to need to look at and feel secure before you move into a particular manufacturer.
I did get a question on service, Mike, that we'll address now. How often do you wind up having to call for service? I realize you only have the press in since August.
We've had the machines in since early August. We've had virtually no, very few service calls on the 8000. We've had a few on the 1200. Most of them are things that are really very minor things that they're just really things on a machine that you're going to have on a new machine, things that get the machine up and running, you know, just some fine-tuning things. We haven't had any service problems whatsoever.
Okay. And then I've got a couple of other real quick questions, Mike, for you. And the next question that I've got is when you take a look at the technology that you're using, do you have any issues with cracking at the fold or anything like that, given, you know, you've done things like the football programs and those types of things?
Yes. Some stocks, we've noticed that there is some cracking at the fold.
Okay.
How do you
deal with that? I'm just, you know, the curiosity is how do you deal with that?
We try to when the job is if the job does not run through the saddle stitch unit on the 1200, if we score it before it's folded, it helps tremendously.
Okay, great idea.
But on the saddle stitch unit, it's folded, and it all depends on the image. Sometimes it will crack, and sometimes it does not.
Okay, so a little bit of design focus there.
Right, that's
correct.
And
then the question is, how good is the registration, front to back registration on things like cover stock and those types of things?
It's excellent.
Okay.
We can put a job on the machine. It will run the whole run. I have check samples throughout runs, and I haven't seen the registration moving at all. When the job is designed and put on the machine, the registration is dead on, and it stays dead on throughout the run.
Perfect. Now, a couple of other questions, and this one is a historical one, but I'm going to ask it anyway, and that is, there was a history, and I think it goes back, and it's the question is a bit dated because I think digital color technology has come a long way. But do you have any problems with color banding in terms of the output that you're dealing with? And typically what that meant was you could see, you know, gradations in the color. Do you have any problems with banding on color?
No, I'm not familiar with that term.
Okay.
But
if you had them, I think you'd know, but I thought I'd just ask the question.
I don't think so, but again, I apologize. I'm not familiar with that term.
Okay. And then do you have, how is the color consistency throughout the print run?
It's excellent. It never changes.
Okay.
When we pull samples throughout the run, when we're checking registration, I look at the color, and it never changes.
Okay. And then the other question, how do you deal with full bleeds on work?
We run usually, most of our products are like 11 by 17 bleed, 11 by 7 full bleed on 11 by 17, and we run 12 by 18 stocks and trim it down to into the bleed.
Okay.
For instance, on the football program, the job is an 8.5 by 11 job, a page job, 8.5 by 11 page size, and trimmed flat would be 11 by 17. We run the cover 12 by 18 and trim it down to 11 by 17 and put it in the 1200 with 11 by 17 paper and run it and saddle stitch it. Does an excellent job. And the text is not full bleed, but the cover is.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you two final questions, and then we'll wrap up. How often do you have to calibrate your machine for color?
About every week. We usually calibrate it on Monday morning.
And somebody did a better job at asking the question about banding than I did, but how good, if I'm printing color solids, how good are those solids?
They're excellent.
Okay.
That was one of the things that really amazed me about the Konica Minolta equipment, that the solids, like the heavy blacks or heavy blues are excellent. There's no fading or we put a business card that it's a full bleed blue. Our colors are reflex blue and black, and the color is a four color job, and it's the background is solid blue, and we print it on a sheet and cut it down to the individual business card size, and I'm just amazed at how even the color is over the whole sheet throughout the whole run.
Okay. And one last and final question that I'm going to ask you, Mike, and that was, and I don't think everybody heard, but when you sit down and take a look at making that digital decision, what were the most important criteria that you looked at in vendor selection?
Of course, I wanted something that would match offset printing, and that was the reason for taking files that had been printed by our outside offset printers to the manufacturers and run them on their machines with the stocks that we ran with those jobs. That was probably the main thing, to find a machine that could handle our production plus to deliver an image that was offset quality. And I said earlier in my presentation that when we ran the images through the Konica Minolta color machines, I thought that they were better than the offset image that we had gotten from the from my outsourced offset printer.
Okay. Good. I'm going to wrap up with some final thoughts, and there were some questions, everybody, that we didn't get to. And what we'll do is we'll go through those and get back to you. Some of them were a bit technical in nature, and I'll elicit some support in terms of how things are specifically done, and they're probably a little bit longer than we can answer on this webinar, but we'll work through those and get responses back to you for those that we didn't. First, I want to take a second to thank Mike, and I think the big message that you should leave with is that much like Kilgore and others, what we are seeing is that we're in a world where offset is clearly moving to digital. We're seeing black and white move to color. We're seeing run lengths, and I think Mike did a great job at communicating that are getting shorter and shorter. Mike's next move is obviously one of taking a look at variable data and how we can integrate that into his operation. Well, he doesn't have web-based job submission tools in place. I'm guessing, Mike, that that's part of your plan over time in terms of servicing the university.
Yes.
And then the other piece is that then he's got an infrastructure so that if he wants to leverage and get into more of a cross-media type opportunity, he'll have the infrastructure in place. And somebody asked me to define cross-media, and that says that what I'm doing is I'm communicating across multiple platforms, print, mobile, social, and online. But the first step in that process is really getting into the world of digital, moving into the variable data world, and then you can sit down and migrate to additional platforms. And last but not least, and I think Mike's doing it, is he's really building out what I categorize as a super efficient operation. And so I'm going to leave you with one final set of thoughts, and it's actually one of my favorite quotes, and it happens to be from Steve Ballmer. And Steve said, you know, the number one benefit of digital technology is that it empowers people to do what they want to do. It lets people be creative. It lets people be productive. It lets people learn things they didn't think they could learn before. And so, in a sense, it's all about potential. And for our industry, I think digital color is the first step in realizing the potential of our industry. With that, I'd like to thank all of you for joining us. If we didn't get to your questions today, we will absolutely get back to you. And, again, thanks for your time and attention. And, Mike, most of all, thanks to you. You are a great speaker, and you shared tremendously valuable information. And with that, we're signing off. Thanks, everybody.